Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to a new Big Little Lies After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Sam Davidson, and we're going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 5, titled Once Bitten. We have a lot to say, so please stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Do you need
hello again, guys. How awesome is this music? Thank you so much for tuning into the Big Little Lies After Show again. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. Ryan is maybe missing in action. We might see him run in, but I have the beautiful Raquel here.
Yay!
Please introduce yourselves. Let us know where we can find you on Twitter.
Yes, and as she just said, my name is Raquel Harris, and you can find me on all social media at Raquel Harris TV.
And of course, guys, follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV, Twitter and Instagram.
Absolutely.
And I have a live chat open if you guys want to chat. We love your comments. They're so smart.
Yes.
And your comments, as is the show, continuing like to get smarter.
Yeah. It's nice to see you guys kind of put your input in and kind of just, you know, have your predictions just like we do. So, and it's nice to know like everybody's like watching this story unravel as we are. I mean, obviously you aren't because you've read the book, but you obviously, you know, kind of tie it both together. And
yeah.
It's nice to see your perspective on it. So.
It's changing, so I don't know what's going to happen next at this point, because just a general note on this episode, I feel like I'm playing a whole new game once this episode came out.
Yeah, this one was so action-packed. I was so like, wow, okay, like stuff is really starting to like pop off. But yeah, no, this episode honestly to me was my favorite so far.
Yeah, it was really good. Speaking of stuff starting to pop off, we have Renata.
Yes.
So, Madeline, the start of the episode is that she's having a nightmare, which, you guys, I have a lot of nightmares. I'm going to be real, and they're vivid, and I remember them.
I love my nightmares.
I know, and I'm like, oh, that was very telling. This nightmare of Madeline's was very telling.
Yeah.
Again, it was a Muppet, you know, with Renata. I think that with this kind of show, too, they're putting in seeds in our brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was, I mean, obviously with Madeline, Renata's her biggest enemy. So, of course, that's the person that's pushing you off the cliff. That's the one person that's making you go over the edge. And I thought that was symbolic of that, too. Like, she's losing her mind. You know, her daughter's left now. And I just feel like that was all symbolic of her just kind of like, I can't take this anymore. I'm falling off the edge.
Yeah. And the other thing about Renata that I found interesting is Gordon. Because Gordon, in the book, he was almost, you know those characters that they have when they're interviewed by the detective? And they're just kind of passing characters.
Yeah.
You don't really know what their purpose is. They were there. And that's kind of what Gordon was in the book. But in the show, I really like him.
Yeah.
I think he was a little weird last week, but it's a man. And I love the way he interacted with Amabella.
I like Gordon. I think he's my favorite husband out of all the husbands, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Ed, but Ed kind of showed a little bit of more weirdness this episode. So I'm like, and then when they went to the interviews and then they were like, yeah, something's just off with Ed. Like, Ed's never been like normal.
Yeah, we'll get into that because I'm so glad that okay, what do they call it in musicals? I knew like the chorus and do you know what I'm talking about?
Not the intermission, but I know what you
like
mean.
Like the chorus, essentially. And I've been in musicals so many times, so I should know this. But they are essentially that, like the chorus. They are the crowd talking.
Right.
And that the fact that they said that about Ed, I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. But we'll get to that, yeah.
Right.
But with, you know, I do think the Gordon thing is interesting because it's newer for me. And he loves his daughter, and Amabella, it's kind of messed up. It's like she's one of them in the making.
Yeah.
You see how they're all suppressed?
For sure. I mean, Amabella, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is happening to you, kid? Like, once the bite happens, Renata, which I'm happy that she reacted that way, because most moms would. Like, who is hitting my daughter? Who's putting their hands on her? Like, what is going on? And Gordon, he's not, I feel like oftentimes the moms are always like, you know, super freak out, because that's like, that's their baby. But the dad is a little bit more calm, like, okay, let me logically, you know, pan everything out, figure everything out. So I think Gordon, even though he seems like he can come off as nonchalant sometimes, it's only because I think he's trying to level her out.
Yeah, one of the things I wish Gordon would have said was, okay, I'm worried too, I'm upset too, but right. That doesn't mean we need to target this kid, Ziggy, because I think that deep down, what Gordon didn't say is that he doesn't think it's Ziggy.
Right.
It's
right.
Bigger than that.
Right, absolutely. And then I just feel like, too, Amabella, it sucks because I understand that, we don't know who's hurting her, so maybe she's just afraid to speak about it, but that would have been my first thing, too. Like, Amabella, I need you to tell me who is doing this to you, because you know who it is. And I understand that you're scared, but we're here to help you. And that sucks because, you know, telling a little kid that it's, you know.
And to think it starts that young.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like, even, you know, they're still afraid of like imaginary monsters. So absolutely. A real monster obviously is just, you know, 10 times worse.
Yeah. And Julie Collard in the chat said, I like how we are getting more info on the side characters. In the mm-hmm. book, it was really lacking on info to the characters talking to the police. So I completely agree with you. I think that it's a definite plus that they are discovering more. And absolutely. They're changing a bit, the side characters mm-hmm. and their involvement in it. Let's talk a little bit about Madeline. So we see that nightmare, and then we see her texting Celeste, mm-hmm. and she's having sex in the kitchen. So Madeline's like, okay, I'll have sex in the kitchen
right.
with Ed.
And it's like so weird because... I don't know. It's just, and then it was funny though when they cut to the interviewees again, and they were like, "I just can't, you know, you just can't imagine them having sex." And I'm like, you know, I've never sat and thought about it, but I really couldn't imagine them having sex either. I know obviously they do because they're husband and wife.
And they had a kid,
right? Right, exactly. So by default, they're having sex, but it is a very awkward. I don't know if it's real. Am I just doing this because I am married to you? Or is it because, okay, I have this emotion to do it? It's almost as if they plan sex instead of just, you know, having it spontaneously happen, which is weird, too. And I love the smaller daughter.
Chloe?
Chloe. She's so sharp, and I do start to like her more and more, because at first I was like, okay, Chloe, she's a little annoying a little bit for me, but now I'm starting to like her more and more because she's so sharp and she's just so attuned to everything that's going on around her, because when she left, she was just like, yeah, you guys can continue doing mm-hmm. whatever it is that you thought that I didn't know you were doing, and I'm just like, girl, you are so funny.
Yeah, and it was an addition, and it's cool because she's almost like, I don't want to say like the god of the show, but she has this like higher thinking that she's doing that no one else is picking up on, because every other character is so involved in themselves
right.
and their drama, and this girl is just playing the soundtrack, but really she understands more than anybody else does what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, and I don't know this from reading the book, because I at this point, you guys, I'm just like spitballing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That if she's the one that says, okay, this is the person that's hurting Amabella.
Mm-hmm.
And is, you know, kind of the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also the voice of the show because of the music, which is amazing.
I know. She's like the playlist. She's the soundtrack of the show. Yeah.
Let's talk about Madeline and Joseph. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know. And I'm thinking like, okay, I know that you guys probably had whatever you had in the past, and that's fine. But... I don't know. I mean, obviously, Madeline, and I'm not excusing anyone from, like, cheating. You should never cheat, or you should never, you know, commit adultery. But at the same time, I guess I'm just like, if you're not happy, then don't stay. Don't cheat, but don't stay with someone that you're just not... You don't feel completed by, because I feel like I wholeheartedly feel that when people cheat, it's because they have an incomplete part of them, or they feel like, okay, wherever I am right now, I'm not being, you know, I'm not... feeling as 100 as I could with this other person. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it sucks because I don't want it to be happening to Ed. But at the same time, I feel like, okay, Madeline, this is a serious conversation that you need to have with Ed. And, you know, say, hey, you know, this person, I kind of have feelings for, or I'm just feeling risque with them.
Well, you know, I think when you get to a certain age, and I don't know this from experience, but I think once you have a child with someone, especially,
yeah,
and especially if it's your second marriage,
mm-hmm.
you kind of are like, this is it, and I'm going to make it work,
yeah,
no matter what.
Right.
And then you kind of have to go to other outlets to make it work.
Yeah.
Sheena McNamara in the chat said, I think Ed is a red herring. He's just a little strange
yeah.
to throw us off to think he's involved in the murder, but I don't think he is.
Hmm.
But to me, that's one of the things that I feel I'm not letting it go. In the book, I loved him. Ed was yeah. the only normal person.
Okay.
But in the show, I am just picking up on a lot of Easter eggs. I feel like the writers and producers are dropping to us more than a red herring. Mm. I think, to me, the show as itself is about kind of, it's about women and how they're somehow suppressed by men in one
right.
way or another and how they overcome it.
Mm. Or their own issues, too.
Yeah, and has a lot to do with their own issues.
Yeah, because I feel like the men in the show, they obviously are creating some of the problems for some of the women. But I do feel like, at least with Madeline's case, Ed can't help but, you know, if you don't love him, then you just don't love him. And now we don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the next two episodes. But at the same time, I feel like, okay, Madeline, you're being your own issue. There's nothing that you really have. There's no problem in your life at all. With Jane, I feel like Jane has a serious problem. Celeste has a serious problem. Renata, I feel like, you know,
she's just a problem.
Yeah, Renata's just like, I just want to create an issue because I'm bored. Like, I don't really feel like Renata or Madeline really have anything to complain about. They just have first world problems. So
I agree with you. But I think they're trying to make it deeper and more confusing.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure if that's just going to all be a red herring.
Yeah.
Or not.
Because, I mean, it could be like how Steven said last week, and he just needs to have something a little bit wrong with him so that it kind of makes you pay attention, but it's like a Kansas City shuffle where it's actually just something else happening. Like,
yeah, I don't know, but what I picked up on with Ed last week, mm-hmm. I'm not going to forget that, and I don't think that, I think that is real. And I think that is something that the writers created from the book that
really?
Wasn't in the book. And, I mean, I could be being crazy, but that's, I think that there's something weird with Ed, for sure. And, I mean, the whole affair with Madeline wasn't in the book either.
Mm. So there's a lot of things that are just kind of a little, like, changing, you know. Oh, well, and then, too, Ed was a little bit more weird for me when Abigail came back home and Ed was, like, leaving, like, you know, letting them have their girl time to talk. And then Ed just kind of peeks over like he's looking at her. And I do feel like maybe I hope that that's not the case where he's like a pedophile or he has been touching on Abigail, because that would be so disturbing. But with the way that he's been acting with women, I mean, maybe not a pedophile per se, because he kind of gave Zoe Kravitz the same look. But I, you know,
right. And her sweat and Jesus.
And yeah. That. And I'm like, when is I mean, I'm not attracted to sweat, period, ever. I just don't. But I mean, and when he said, oh, yeah, sweaty women, I'm like, ew, OK, that's, you know, people are into whatever they're into. So that's cool.
OK, the thing is about Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
Have you picked up on anything that you think it's going to be more than her just being the annoying daughter that's bratty and
yeah.
the storm between her parents?
Yeah, I just don't know what it is, though. Like, I guess in my mind, I'm like, OK, she's obviously over the situation that she was in with her mother and mm-hmm. with Ed. But I mean, I'm guessing it could be a combination of things like, OK, she feels like Chloe gets more attention.
Yeah.
She's kind of, you know, started a new family and she just feels like she's kind of the oddball in the bunch because she's having to battle between, well, she's also having to deal with the parents or the fighting between her two parents. So I think that that's, it could be a number of different things. She's a very liberal and very open-minded person. So she might, you know, could be going nuts.
Yeah. With that being said, I mean, cause there was a moment where Madeline went into Abby's Facebook
mm-hmm.
and said, and you know, she saw something that said, oh, is this the picture you're going to use? Like, I don't think it's provocative enough.
Right.
And you're like, what is she going to use it for?
Right.
So I think there's a lot more going on with that character that we will get into. Mm-hmm. And again, like, yeah, some, I'm not going to talk about the books, but I think that they're going to change it, but keep it, like, they're going to amplify things.
Yeah, it could be, I mean, just to tie this into possibly Ed being a reason why she's kind of acting where it is, she may have been touched at a younger age than what she is now. And then maybe that's kind of escalated into, okay, I want to be more provocative, or I want to be more risque. And, you know, little girls are... any child is very sensitive at that age, which is why Ziggy is acting out the way that he is, or he's, you know,
yeah,
he has anger issues.
And a lot of other characters of children. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a very sensitive time in any child's development where you need to shelter them from certain things in order for them to have at least, you know, an okay life growing up. Like, of course, every kid or every person needs to experience, you know, bad times, good times, emotional, you know, so, you know, just certain things that it just, you can't get away from being a human. But I do feel like children are so delicate that you can't, you know, expose them to everything right at that moment, because they may have other problems later on, which to me was interesting with Ziggy when she said that when she gave birth to Ziggy, he didn't cry like all other babies. And I'm like, okay, but unless being, if the father could pass on those types of genes, I don't know how true that is. If you can do that, like,
Well, it's nature versus nurture.
Right. Because I'm like, how, I don't know. I don't believe that until I see, like, some research, like, some strong, like, science behind
that. Until it's, like, your own child, then you're like, right. I didn't do this.
Right, exactly. So it's like, how, I mean, she obviously is kind of like, okay. But see, a lot of kids don't cry when they're first born. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a rarity, but it doesn't mean that your child is off.
Well, it's almost as though, I mean, imagine, you know, if you got raped, sexually assaulted, mm-hmm. and then you had to have a child from that, and you wanted to keep it.
Right.
I think that, like, it's a projection. Almost
energy that's yeah. just going into it,
that she's just like, oh, he's not crying and it's because of X, Y, and Z. It's right. because he's messed up. And I think that this entire story, in a way, there's no main character,
mm-hmm.
but we kind of are seeing it through Jane's eyes because we are new to this world, as is she.
That's not okay. I didn't even think about that.
And I don't necessarily like agree with every like I. To be honest, Jane is my least favorite character.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I just find her, like, the least interesting, and I don't know. There's just something about her. I didn't connect with in the books either, but it really? Was always kind of like, you know, because you see a new show, so many shows. It's like this character comes into a new town,
mm-hmm.
and you start with, like, their interactions and their story with this right. town. And that's kind of what we are at with Jane.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, I feel as though this whole thing is through Jane eyes, which, again, guys, it's not in the book, but that's just my take right. from it.
Okay. I mean, me personally, I really like Celeste, and I really like Jane, just because she's the younger one. She's kind of, she's just new to so many things. She's new to yeah. the community. She's new as a mom, as a younger mom, experiencing something totally different. She's not as well off as the other mothers, but she still has a connection because she, you know, she has her own issues. So I love Jane, and then I love Celeste because Celeste is a very strong, strong woman, even though that kind of contradicts the situation that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
She's so... It's, I don't know, it's like, it's as if she's aware of what's going on, but she deals with it because I really don't know.
Well, I think that it's kind of, I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, I'm not a therapist,
mm-hmm.
but I think that it's kind of textbook of women that are abused and they mm-hmm. take blame.
Yeah.
They think that it's their fault and they think that they are partaking in it.
Right.
And Nicole Kidman is so brilliant in this yes. role. I mean, I know we've had a lot of comments just that her accent comes in and out, and I didn't realize it until this episode, and it did.
Yeah.
And it's weird because she's been in so much stuff where she's had a perfect American accent.
She probably is just like, I mean, no, I won't say she got lazy.
Well, it's like an HBO show. It's like a big thing. I don't really understand quite what's happening. If it could have been that she's from...
Yeah.
Somewhere else. And I wish they could have explained it because, yeah, the accent is a bit distracting yeah. for me.
Really? See, no, I mean, when I hear it, I kind of, I'll like, pay attention to it, but then I'll go back to the story because I guess it's like, well, yes, we all know. Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I never heard it until, I guess, maybe because someone online last week pointed it out, and so I... heard it this week, so maybe that's why I heard it specifically.
It's kind of like when you drive a car and now you see all those other cars. It's like once someone points it out, it just comes.
Exactly. Yeah. But it, you know, her storyline this episode, so let's talk about her in its entirety. And, Perry. The thing is, okay, first of all,
so sick of Perry.
Did you watch, I forget, I've asked you this. You have not watched True Blood.
I have not watched True Blood.
So I will just give a throw out to Alexander Skarsgård in this episode. He used that voice to, like, chase after the kids, and he's like, after you.
So it's like a cameo.
It, like, almost was a throwback to True Blood, because he would get a little angry and be like, would be so silly and stupid. He was a vampire.
Right.
I love that show, by the way. I mean, throw out to True Blood. But, yeah, it was... And it's one of those things, too. You see him being nice with the kids. And when you see people being nice with children, you're like, they're good people.
Right. And he's obviously the complete opposite. And I feel like he's... And what's unfortunate, too, is that the kids are against her, too. Not... They don't know it, but subconsciously, they don't really favor her as much as they do the father. Like, I mean, just like when they were coming... When he was coming out from the airport from Chicago, they run up to him. And
because he's a novelty in a way.
And there's another... Oh, like, for instance, when they were shooting... They were shooting at each other in the kitchen. And then he doesn't... Like, he's obviously the dad, like, that's playing as the monster. He's going after the kids. But instead, the kids start shooting the mom. And I don't know if that was something that I'm thinking that's just way too extreme.
No, but I don't think so.
Because it was just like, why are you shooting mom? Shoot dad. Dad's being the monster. Like, why do you, you know, but in your eyes, maybe you feel like the monster is your mom because maybe the...
It's the person every day telling you to do this, do that.
Right.
And then, the good guy's not there.
Exactly. And so in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, but still, okay, this is your mom. Like, this is your mom that buys you things, that makes you food, that put your clothes on in the morning, like does everything. And it hurts me to see Celeste going through that, because the men in her life literally really don't pay attention to her. And even though they're her kids, it's just like, oh, well, here's dad. I love dad. Whatever. And like, and they, no matter how long she stays with them throughout the day, they still listen to her or listen to him before they listen to her.
See, like, coming from it made me actually feel bad coming from two kids, you know, me and my brother, our parents got divorced at 10, and we always loved dad, and dad was the one that did all the messed up stuff that caused the divorce, but we didn't see him as much, so we were so excited. And, you know, it sucks, and that's a hurtful thing to the mother, especially when the mother is in denial about being, like, beat. But on that note, we have the therapy sessions.
Yes, which was so, oh my gosh.
Yeah, which, okay, so I told you guys last week, it was different from the books that they went to therapy together, but now this is more on point.
Yeah.
Which is that she's going to therapy alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the because I said last week, you know, doesn't someone have a duty to society legally?
Right, I mean... It sucks. That was a very hard scene to watch for me, because she literally is just not in her right mind. She isn't.
Like, excuses, it's my fault.
Yeah, and she was like, I'm not going to have you bully him or victimize him or say that he's the one that's wrong. We're both wrong. We're this. And then she's, you know, and the therapist is saying, okay, but did he know that you were coming here by yourself? No.
Mm-mm.
No. And it's like, come on, Celeste, like, wake up. I know it's very, very hard. It's a hurtful situation, but Celeste, please
get out. And she's so smart.
She is, exactly. It's like, but no matter how smart you are, you can always get tripped up by something, because you're still a human at the end of the day, no matter how great and how amazing you are. And then the scene, like, when they were picking up the pieces, or she was like, oh, well, he said it's a fucking mess in here. I don't want to live in a pigsty. And she's like, okay, pick him up then. And he's just so mentally manipulative. Oh, well, I'm going to make you feel bad because I need to go to work right now and you're sitting there doing nothing.
One by one.
Oh my gosh. Like, I was like, this dude is, and it's so weird. It's like, did you go to a camp where they taught you how to, like, mentally manipulate someone or to bully someone? It's so, like, he's so bizarre and just so insane that I'm just like, how, like, wow. I would literally just, that would have to be it for me.
Well, when you say that about the camp, right? I mean, it's just like a term, you know, I get what you're saying, but could you think that the kids are going through, the twins are going through their own camp. That's their camp. And that's how they're learning to treat women.
Yeah,
and that's probably how Perry learned to treat women.
True.
And it's this ongoing cycle, which I think is a theme of the show, is an ongoing cycle and trying to stop it, but not necessarily being able to because it's either inconvenient or just it's too hard.
Right.
And it's just your life and you just want to raise your kids right and do the right thing for them, not cause drama.
Yeah.
But I think the point about the show is that everything is coming to a bubble, a boiling point.
Absolutely. Which is, I mean, more or less what happened in the end.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk again about Jane a little bit more. There's one scene I want to say that was very cool with all three women, Jane, Celeste, and Madeline. They're all running. Mm-hmm. And you see each of their stories.
Yeah.
What they're going through. And they're running to something and they all get there together. And they're united because they're all going through something. But each thing they're going through is different.
Right. Right.
Did you feel that that was kind of, I don't know, telling, because there's this big mystery as well. Obviously, they're part of it.
I kind of felt, even in the intro, though, when they were dropping off their kids, in the same way at the end when they're picking up their kids, I don't know if they were dropping them off or picking them up at the same, or, but they always, I love how each episode intros, because they all get their story told or what they're doing for this episode in the beginning, and they're always doing the same activity, like dropping off their kid or painting with their kid.
It's like they're all different, but they're all the same at the same time.
We all have the same struggles. We just experience them in a different way, or we experience a different struggle. So, I mean, whenever I see them on the beach, I always kind of correlate it with, this is my relaxed time. This is my thinking time. This is the time where I'm trying to release everything that's been going on for these past couple of days. And I'm doing it with my friends. And I mean, at the end of the day, they always they come together because they do share that struggle, or they can talk to one another, just like, you know, regular girlfriends. Yeah. It's like, okay, oh my gosh, I have to pay these student loans and, you know, whatever else. It's not necessarily to say misery loves company, but in a sense it does.
Misery does love company.
Yeah, yeah.
It sucks to be miserable alone.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, and I feel like they've kind of had to, they've pulled each other together throughout for
their misery. Yeah, and it's like taking a symbol of being a mother or being a wife, and each character, which is a big part of the writer, Leanne Moriarty, that's what she does in all of her books. It's kind of like, each person has a general struggle and then bringing characters together in a way. Which is one of the reasons I love this show and I loved that book so much. Again, so guys, we got to have a they call him Saxton Banker.
Was it Banker?
So I don't know. Okay, so in the book, they called him Saxton Banks. Saxton Banks, but something like that. They changed it a little bit, which was unnecessary, just confusing all of us. But we do get to see him.
I know, finally. I'm like, yay!
Yeah, which was fun.
It was fun. I was like, come on, Steven. There you go.
Yeah, thank you so much again, Steven Graybill.
Thank you.
So much fun for coming in last week. And what did you think about that? Because don't you think that somebody...
I thought he knew her. I thought he really knew her. He recognized her face. Because he gave her this prolonged look, I'm going to play along with this. Maybe he didn't really, really know who she was, but it was a faint memory, because it just, I don't know. It just seemed off. It was girl, what are you here for? And if he didn't know who she was, he definitely knew she's not here for what she's saying that she is. Because that whole scene was just so intense, especially when it got silent and you just heard
slow-mo and all that.
I know. I was like, oh my God, please, girl, do not. If you're going to do something, then just do it. Get out of there. But I'm like, okay. There has to be other people around. Because I'm like, and she shot him, right? Because we don't.
Okay. Well, that to me, so you said that before we went on here. And I was thinking to myself, because this is all new for me, that scene didn't happen.
Oh, really?
No. In the book, he was just talked about, his picture was quote-unquote shown, you know, in the book, they looked at it. But it gets a little more complicated, and quite honestly, in the book, I thought it didn't make sense. So I'm kind of glad that the TV show is gonna...
opening up his character a little bit more.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna open up his character, but I thought that she maybe thought... she wasn't quite sure what he looked like, and maybe this was him, maybe it wasn't him.
Really? Well, because she had the picture, though. I feel like
she, I mean, but when she saw the picture, I think she was like, yeah, I think that's him. Maybe that's him. I think that's when it was questionable. And then she decided, yeah. I got this. That's him. But it could not be him because I think that she was like, I'm not really sure.
Right. Oh. Well, I mean, if not, then I'd be like, okay, well, it looks like him. I'm glad that you found whoever you found.
You're like, well, yeah, this is interesting.
Right.
Let's see. Julie Collard in the chat says, Jane freaks me out with that gun in her bed.
Yeah. I mean, she's, but I mean, it's sad because that's obviously, you know, that's her way of trying to protect herself. But that's a result of her being raped. And she no longer wants that to happen. She also has a kid now. Yeah. So it's like, I'm a single mom. I live by myself with my kid. So I need to, you know, take certain precautions.
And it is a very scary thing to have been sexually assaulted. But, you know, I think that Jane moved to this town for part of that reason.
Yeah. And then to go back, she's just trying to get closure.
Yeah, I think she is trying to get closure. And Ziggy is getting, unfortunately, looped into that.
But then it's like, well, what do you do after you, if you kill him? Then, I mean.
So, okay. I wish that we had, like, Ryan or Jesse here. Because I feel like we saw different things. And I am not, I only saw this once before I came in here. So you saw that Jane shot
No, she him. Didn't shoot him. I just thought that was what was happening. I just assumed that.
It was very vague.
Yeah, I just assumed, because then when she ran out and I'm like, did you shoot him? Like, what happened? Like, I didn't know what happened, but I was like, I'm just assuming, like, okay, she shot him. Or it's like, I don't know. But I also feel like, okay, she wouldn't do that in a public setting like that.
Yeah, guys, let us know in the chat, because I think we might have missed a beat. Maybe or maybe not. I think maybe it's supposed to be up to our interpretation.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm not sure, because I think I know everything, and then I'm like, wait, nope, this didn't happen. I'm so confused.
I might be tripping. I mean, that's just what I felt what might have been happening.
Jane was definitely creepy when she called Madeline and was, you know, she had the gun and she's like ready to go.
Cause I'm like, and then just the way she took off, like, I don't know if she just got scared and like freaked herself out and then ran out. Maybe that could have very well happened. But I guess in my mind,
she's like, show me your penis. Oh no, not the same one. Sorry.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Cause I mean, unless maybe she was doing it as just a test drive to see how she would react. And then she's going to come back again. But then it's like, you've already ran out. So you've already freaked everybody out around you.
And
so.
He told her she was making him uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm like, what is going on? I don't understand. And then like when she got like close up to him, I'm like, what are you trying to do? Like, are you like, what's happening right here?
Yeah. But, like, why did you come here? Yeah. It's, you know, to me, it's so, I told Raquel this when we were watching. I was like, Jane's my least favorite character.
Yeah.
And she's one of Raquel's favorite characters. I don't know. There's something about her that
it just doesn't resonate.
It does. And it doesn't.
And is it because she's too mysterious? Or
no,
is it...
I love mystery. I guess I do like knowing what's happening, generally.
You can't really break her down yet. I know what you mean. Like, you just can't. Typically, people like to they feel more comfortable when they have you figured out. And because we don't really have her figured out yet, it's
I have way too big of an imagination.
So, okay.
And I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to take down everybody.
Right, yeah. And that may be, you know, because, I don't know. So... I'm curious about this Amabella thing. Like, I don't know what, I'm so confused.
Has your mind changed at all? Because I asked you a couple weeks ago who you think hurt her.
I don't know. I mean, if she's getting bit, like, and then the mouth, like, the print.
Like, is this a vampire
show? Yeah, like, the print was little, so I'm like, it's a little mouth. I don't know. Like, I keep going back and forth. Like, okay, I don't know. I don't know if it's Ziggy or not. I hope it's not Ziggy. And I always say that every single week. I really don't want it to be Ziggy because I just think he's the coolest. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm like, is Amabella hurting herself? Like, what is?
It's definitely complicated. Sheena McNamara in the chat said, as far as. Amabella, or no, as far as Jane and the entire thing, she said, I think that she's not sure it was him and freaked out, but I think it's up for interpretation right now.
Yeah, I don't know. What was her name? I'm sorry.
Sheena,
yes. I am not sure. I'm like, at this point, it could just be anything. Because I feel like anything is happening right now. Like, I did not expect Madeline to start cheating. I did not see that coming at
Me
all.
Me either, guys. No, literally, though, I didn't have it. I thought I knew everything.
I was like, wow, okay. And then you have a history. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of different things that I didn't know. I didn't know Renata was going to have sex in her office. That was weird for me. But at the same time, I get it. You know, a lot of people's stories are changing.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I hope. Because then it's still, too, we haven't figured out who died.
Yeah, no, that's so, still. And we didn't get it. We got a couple flash forwards-ish, and that was cool. You know, we got a couple of those detective scenes.
Yeah.
And a couple of, like, faces, apparently, you know, at the Elvis Audrey Hepburn trivia thing. Where somebody dies, and I, you know, that's the whole thing. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
So on that note, let's get into some predictions.
Well, I predict that I'm just going to have to go ahead and say it, and I guess I feel like Jane shot him. And either she shot him, and she's trying to, you know, or she shot him, she's trying to run away, or she freaked out and then just left. I don't know, but I do feel like Stephen Graybill or Saxon is going to come back into the picture briefly. It probably won't be a long scene, but briefly. And I think that Ed is going to catch Madeline up in her cheating. And I think that Ed possibly might be a little pervy.
Oh, now we think Ed's pervy.
I know, because I like Ed. But it's like, I don't want him to be, but, you know, I keep
thinking about... There's no denying his perviness. I personally think at this point, he's one degree away from being a perv, and, you know, like, we're close to that. Unfortunately. I mean, I love Ed, too. The thing is, with that storyline is that they're completely changing it. And I love, it's Reese Witherspoon, if you guys didn't know, produced the show. Mm-hmm. So did Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
But I think that she wants to change her character a little bit. And they are making it more interesting. But I think that the thing with Joseph, mm-hmm. Madeline, it's not over. And the wife is knows. Yeah. We saw that. The wife looked at her and she knew something was happening.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's not over.
And Nathan, too. I'm so sick of him. Don't hang up on Madeline anymore. Like, that made me so mad. When they were on the phone and Bonnie was like, she's going to be so pissed at you. And it's just like, I feel like Bonnie's like, I don't want to be a part of this. You can tell she just doesn't want to. She's just like, please leave me alone. I don't have time for this. Please just handle your kids. Do what you got to do. But Nathan just... I just want someone to just run him over. And then the crash. The crash with Joe, that was crazy too.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, I think that this entire show is essentially a crash metaphorically.
Right.
And seeing kind of how things go down. And I think that Jane will continue to get creepier and a little. And I think that Ziggy is going to get less creepy and Jane will just get creepier.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? It's just a lot of creeps. Big little creeps.
I don't know. On that note, guys, we miss you so much, Ryan and Jesse. Hopefully, we will all see them next week. But thank you all so much for tuning in. On that note, where can we find you online, Raquel?
You can find me on all social media at Raquel Harris TV. And please check out my vlogs, Raquel Conveys, that come out every single Sunday on YouTube.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, samdavidsonentertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram at samd43. And we love this show. We love the conversations that we're having. Keep it up. We love your theories. And we will see you next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.